Hey, Andre.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. Can you hear me? I hear you.
Yes, I can hear you. Congratulations on your new album.
Thank you very much.
Which is, I guess, new but not so new. New to us, but you sat on it for a little bit, given everything that's been going on.
Yeah, I wonder why we did that.
Yeah, right?
Things kind of blew up, but it's going to work out okay. We wanted to have a tour in tandem with the release, but for obvious reasons, that's not going to happen. And we just didn't want to hold a record back anymore, so we went ahead and put it out last month or whenever it was, and we're promoting it the best we can without a tour. And so far, it's doing pretty well.
And I can understand why it's doing pretty well. It's a kicking album.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And how did the Dirty Knobs come about?
Well, it was a decade or more ago. I was doing some stuff between Heartbreakers tours. I put these guys I met, and we just kind of showed up. I didn't audition for a band. We started messing around the studio and liked it, and we started playing clubs, and it just became a band.
Wow. Now, in the band, I see Jason Sinead, who's great. It's like a who's who. Matt Logg, Lance Morrison, and I know Ben Mont sat in on a couple of tunes on the album, or on one tune, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's a power band. I mean, the guitars on it, just the sonically, it's a really guitar-oriented. I mean, it's in a way, I mean, the work that you did with Tom Petty, it's like that plus 10. As far as, I guess you can cut loose in this project.
Well, it's a guitar band, you know, and God bless Ben. I love playing with Ben, but the Dirty Knobs is more just the two guitars. So we turned them up a little bit to fill out the sound, so it makes it sound a little raunchier and thicker than, say, a Heartbreakers record might sound.
Right.
And it gives us a little more of our own identity.
Yeah.
And the record is mostly live on the floor, and I wanted it to sound like we sound live, you know, when we play, so I think we accomplished it.
So you mean like all the solos and everything, there's like very limited overdubs on it?
It's exactly. Like 95% of the solos are on the take.
Wow.
And that's what I wanted to get. You know, occasionally if you miss a note, we'd go fix it up. But basically those performances are all four of us playing all together.
Wow.
And like on the acoustic songs, we, you know, obviously had to do the acoustics and then to do a few overdubs over them. A different approach, but the rockin' stuff was us just blasting.
Wow. Yeah, I can see why you wanted to release the album playing clubs. Now, that's interesting too, because given, you know, everything you've done, you know, not only with Tom Petty, but Fleetwood Mac, going on tour with them, Bob Dylan, you're used to playing stadiums, and you were bringing it down to a much more intimate level, like you were booked at the Independent. I think it's been rebooked for October.
Yeah.
But that's a small club. Not, you know, I mean, compared to
a
stadium.
Little places like that. But, you know, the Dirty Knobs are used to doing that. And I actually love that, because it goes back to when I first started out. I started out in places like that. And there's an intimacy and a sound and an energy that I really love getting back in touch with, you know. And maybe someday we'll graduate to some bigger places. But we're going to start small. You know, I don't want to play any place that we can't sell out, and we'll build it up as we go.
Wow, yeah. For our Crush listeners, the Dirty Knobs are going to be at the Independent in October. It seems like a really fun band to be in, like the Tigers out of the cage.
It is. It's very spontaneous and a lot of humor, and anything can happen at any moment. And it's rocking, you know. We have a blast. You can hear it in the record. You can't really fake people having fun, you know. And I think we captured that.
You definitely did capture that. Now, you know, it's been stated that in terms of the way that you play, and I'm thinking more about Tom Petty, because our listeners are probably a little more familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you craft your solos, like you don't expend. There's no waste there. It's not kind of wanky stuff. It's like to the note. And how do you approach a solo when you, even for the Dirty Knobs, when you approach a solo, how do you do that?
Well, I like to keep it spontaneous. I don't like to work things out too much in advance. Maybe have a rough idea how I want it to start and maybe how I want it to end, and then allow something to happen in the middle that is a moment of discovery for me and the listener as well. That I didn't know where that was going, but it worked out okay.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and my playing is influenced by the people that I grew up listening to, like George Harrison, Keith Richards, people like that, you know. And their playing was very song-oriented and not show-offy. And yeah. With the Heartbreakers, I tried to you know, support the song, you know, play a lot if I need to, but mostly play behind the vocal and help the story along without getting in the way. That's just the way I kind of approach things.
Okay, yeah, play to the song, which is very apparent. It is nice, though, to hear you cutting loose, and I'm sure, like, when you're playing live with the Dirty Knobs, do you guys extend solos? I mean, it's not...
Oh, yeah, anything can happen, you know? Anything can happen. A solo that used to be 2 minutes can be 6 minutes. Well, one that used to be 6 minutes, well, might only be 2 minutes tonight, you know? Or instead of me playing, I might have Jason play the section. So, or we might even throw a song we don't know that well and just make it up as we go. We're really good at that.
That's really great.
And so that creates a lot of fun and spontaneity, you know.
Yeah, I bet it does. And guitar tones are just the tones that you get are amazing. And I have the album was produced by you and George Draculius from the Black Crowes. And I mean, that is a guitar band. If you've ever heard one, is that part of the reason why you were working with George?
I like George because he's fun and he's smart. You know, he has a way of making things lighthearted and humorous.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't miss a beat. You know, if you need to do it again, he'll step up and tell you, now you can do better. You know, but he does it in a way that brings out the best in everybody. So he's really fun to work with.
That's really.
And he was invaluable at helping me narrow down the songs to which songs should go on the record, because we had quite a few to pick from, and some of them were a little lighter or heavier, you know. But we wanted to get a group of songs that sounded like a piece that goes together, and he helped a lot with that.
That's great. I'm going to put on my musician hat. We have a lot of musicians who listen to this station, and.
I'll put mine on, too.
Yours doesn't come off.
I'm a musician.
So, okay, a little lightning round.
Okay.
I know we don't have a whole bunch of time left here. If you were on an island, you had one guitar, one amp, what would you have?
Be my Fender Broadcaster and a Princeton Reverb.
Great. And maybe if you could have one pedal, what would it be?
A delay pedal.
Delay pedal. And who are a couple of your favorite guitar players and why?
Well, there's so many. Most of them are from the 60s when I grew up. George Harrison, I loved his tone and his vibe and his choice of notes. I love Mike Bloomfield a lot from the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. I love those records. I used to play them over and try to copy them. I like Keith Richards a lot. I love his rhythm and his songwriting and his approach to the guitar. And, of course, you know, Clapton, Beck, Jimmy Page. And, you know, and you can't forget Jimi Hendrix, who's kind of like out in the zone all by himself. Those are the guys that, and you know, going back before that even, the first guys I heard were Scotty Moore and Luther Perkins, that my dad used to play around the house.
Wow.
So those are my influences, and those are my favorites.
Great influences. What gauge strings do you use?
Regular gauge.
So like a 10?
10 through 52 or whatever it is.
Yeah. And what's on your playlist right now? What do you listen to?
I listen to Tom Petty radio a lot.
Yeah,
outlaw country. I like, you know, there's not many new bands that really get to me, but I always end up going back and listening to, you know, bands from the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Sure.
Again, because that music speaks to me.
Most definitely, that's in a way what our station's about. We're a very roots oriented station. And we do a lot of that kind of work.
Like if I turn on the radio and I've got a choice there, and there's a new band on one channel, and the Rolling Stones are on the other channel, I'm going to listen to the Rolling Stones, even if I've heard it before. I just love that music, you know.
Yeah, that is some great music, and your album is really great. So as we go out, you know, we just played Irish Girl beforehand, which I heard was kind of influenced by Van Morrison.
Absolutely. It's I think it's pretty obvious that it's that vein. And I was listening to him on the radio one night, and I got inspired by that the atmosphere of that song. I forget what song it was. And I came home, and I wanted to do something with real simple chords in that kind of feel. And I kind of drew from that the best I could and came up with my own song in that style.
Really nice. And now some people must have noted that your voice has a resemblance to Tom Petty. I bet it's coming from the same part of the country. Obviously, you guys grew up together. And
yeah.
And I can see why, like listening to this, why your vocals blended so well with Tom's. I just got to thank you for doing this album.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate your compliments. We're really proud of it, and I'm just hoping people like you will like it. You know?
Oh, most definitely. And also, thank you for Wildflowers and all the rest. I know that you helped out as far as putting that together.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I listened to it all in one sitting.
Wow, you're braver than me.
I couldn't stop it. It was great. It was just my soundtrack for that day. Really great.
Good. Well, you got good taste. Aha.
Aha. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. And when you come by and, you know, when you're in town in October, you've got an open invitation to swing by here and say hello.
And also, come to the gig and come back and say hi to us.
Oh, definitely I will. I actually had tickets to the last gig. It was the day before my birthday, October 17th, I think was one of the dates you had there at the Independent. And I was so bummed out when things didn't work out.
Independent, like, is it like a club?
Yeah, it's like a large club. It's a very, you know,
400 people maybe.
Yeah, about that, 400 or 500
Perfect.
People.
I love that. I love that size.
Yeah. So
cool.
Well, thanks for taking the time. And
thank you.
I'll look forward to it. Oh, and we're gonna go out on a tune from the album. What tune aside from the F and tune? What tune should I go out on?
Don't Knock the Boogie.
Oh, yeah.
That's great because it was not written till the day we did it. It was one take, and all the guitars are live.
That is, I don't even know how you got that guitar tone on there. But
it's a Les Paul, like I said, and the band, there's a lot of, we get quiet and loud together. That really, and the guitar gets to really go off. So that really, you know, it exemplifies what we sound like when you come to see us. So that's one of my favorites.
Wow, definitely. It's an off-the-wall, just amazing song. Well, thank you again, and we'll look forward to seeing you up here in the Bay Area.
Okay, good luck. Stay safe.
Take care. Stay safe.